Aggressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongpineAuto.com. I'm Greg Ray, joined by Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood. We'll be joined by David Spafford, Emporia State's athletic director, here before the hour's out. Is a lot of exciting things going on at Emporia State, a lot of new things going on at Emporia State. We'll talk about all that with David Spafford, who's the vice president and athletic director at Emporia State University, and we'll also be joined by Don Wiest as well this morning here on Sports Talk. But until they make their way into the studios, well, we wish there were more good things to talk about as far as the Royals are concerned, but every time you turn around, there's something less positive to talk about. The Royals are now are struggling, having lost five in a row, been shut out in two of their last three ball games. They're just 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position in the last three games and scored only one run. The pitching hasn't been bad, but it's the offense that has stunk it up here as of late. Before that, it was the pitching that was stinking it up, and the offense was doing okay. Just wish they could become maybe a little more consistent, and hopefully before the season's over with, things will get a little more consistent so that they can go into 2024 with a little more of a positive note.
You know, they did play pretty well against the Dodgers, obviously. Actually took that series, and you thought, well, maybe they can get at least some momentum going and maybe begin to play some, you know, halfway decent baseball. But then they go on this road trip to Minnesota, excuse me, and now Cleveland. And, yeah, we're back to what we've seen for the better part of this season. I mean, you know, you're talking about a team that's only won 25 games so far, and we're at the All-Star break, you know, essentially, here in a couple days. So it has been a rough go, and right now there's not a lot of positives to talk about, unfortunately. You have some young guys that have performed. I mean, you know, Nick Prado has hit well. I mean, you know, you've seen some decent pitching performances from Lynch every so often. So if you're trying to look for some positives, you can find some. Unfortunately, when you add them all together, there's just not much there.
Yeah, Brady Singer on the mound this afternoon has got to give him a little confidence. And he threw well in his last start against Cleveland, which was, I think it was on the 27th, and that was where the Royals got the run in the bottom of the eighth, and then Cleveland got two in the ninth, and I remember Cleveland won that game in extra innings. So I think Brady Singer has got to try to give some positivity heading into this one and needing to get some spark for the Royals going into the All-Star break.
Hell, they need something to spark them up and get them going. And go ahead, have a seat,
hey,
David.
Hey, they are still a half game ahead of Oakland, by the way, if you're looking for something positive. So, you know, I mean,
the only thing is they both have 25 wins.
Yep.
It's just that the A's
in the loss column.
Yeah, has a few more losses than what they had. And with that, we say good morning to Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
We are good.
We're glad you were able to make time. Yeah. You know, you've been busy.
There's been a few things going on.
yes.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
Just a few things, and unfortunately, now you have another coaching search that you have to do with Steve Blocker deciding to move over to the academic side. Do you guys in the athletic department call that the dark side?
I usually call the foundation the dark side. And just kidding, Shane, if you're listening. You know, I mean, I've been on both of those sides, so I know how that goes.
Well, without the academic side, the athletic side wouldn't exist. So that's one of those things that goes hand in hand. And you go back to the NAIA days, and the athletic side and the academic side were one and the same, where the coaches had were instructors and all that kind of stuff. But now looking for a new track coach, new head track coach, and tough time to start searching for one, but you're going to be sending whoever takes over that program is also going to have the added responsibility of helping make sure everything's ready to go for the 2024 NCAA Division II Outdoor Track and Field Championships.
That is correct. We've got a lot getting ready to happen here pretty soon. And the I think we'll take the same kind of process that we've taken over the last few hires that we've done, and look for the best person for the job who's a good fit and can come in and help us get back in that championship mode and keep going that way.
Well, and certainly should be an attractive job. I mean, look at the history of that program and what track and field's meant to Emporia State. I would imagine you're going to get quite a bit of interest.
Yeah, I think we will. I haven't had a chance yet to get on the phones and start talking, but I think we'll be in pretty good shape when you start looking at it all, because Steve's just done a great job, and there's just it was a little tough of a conversation as we were going through it all, and believe me, I understand completely where he's at. I've been there. A lot of us have been there. I think a lot of people, you get a little bit enamored with, it's a head coach or an athletic director, but you start looking at all the time that we all put in, and we spend everything we've got for all these jobs, and they're just, 14 years is a long time at one spot, and it just takes a lot out of you. So, hopefully he'll be ready to get going and get rested up, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I know most people probably realize it, but it's not just, during track season, that's the only time that you're locked into your program is during when you're getting ready for track and field. It really begins with the cross-country season and the conditioning and the everything, as it is with every sport. It's almost, 365 days of the year, 24 hours of the day that you're locked into your program. You might take a few days off here and there, but thanks to these things called cell phones, you can't really get away from a whole lot of stuff, and it's right there with you all the time, and you're always trying to keep up and try to stay ahead of the game, because the guy that your kids are going to be competing against are doing that.
That's exactly right. It's, we're on 24/7, and it's, you find those opportunities to take a little break, kind of recharge a little bit, but, when you get back on, you're on and you're going, and track runs such a long season. I mean, it's the seasons themselves, you go from basically August all the way to end of May, and so it's a pretty good run at it that way when you look at it.
You've had to replace, a handful of coaches almost right now since you've been in your position for a relatively short period of time. Just give us an idea. I mean, what goes into finding a coach? What role do you have to play, and what all is involved in that?
Well, there's quite a bit involved when you look at it. I think first we've got to take a look at, where we are as a program and identifying our history and, where we've been and where we want to go, number one. Number two is we look for those types of characteristics. We get them written down of who we want. And then we start looking at our networks and identifying, who do we know, who fits the mold that we're trying to get accomplished here, and who can we bring in. Plus, there's always going to be people you aren't thinking of. And so that works pretty good that way, too, as we kind of start that process and start looking at how we want to do it. I think with the timing right now, I think it's, are we a little bit, a couple weeks, maybe, 2-3 weeks would have been nice. But I know I think, like you all both have all said, that we've got a really good program, and I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah. And
always have to have that list, don't you?
You always got to have a little list in there.
And, who am I going to call, right?
Yeah. That list has been pretty handy now. I got to start redoing all the sports and remove other people up the list. Yeah.
Well, I will say that my wife and I, when Don called me, because I was busy looking for a place to live when I relocate to Lawrence yesterday, and Don called me and he blamed me for all this.
Exactly. Greg Ray leaves and everybody wants to leave, I'm telling you.
And then I get the call.
But talking with my wife, she said she's been impressed with the focus and with the pro, with the mentality that you're taking into with the Emporia State Athletic Program, you're looking for people to make Emporia State better. You're looking for – you have expectations, and you're expecting people to meet those expectations, and you've gone out and found people you feel that can fill the roles that they're going to fill at a high level. And I'll be honest with you, you know, to use the baseball vernacular, I think you've hit a home run with all of your – especially your baseball hire with Brad Hill. But, you know, women's basketball, Brian Osterman, I've been visiting with him. I'm so excited for what he's going to bring to the program. New volleyball coach, Merchek. I haven't had a chance to visit with him as much as some of the other coaches because he seems to be gone a lot, out recruiting and doing a lot of that stuff, which was probably something that he needed to do. So he's getting that all lined up for this coming fall. And then tennis, outstanding hire there. On the women's side, you still have a men's and overall coach to hire. And when I stuck my head in your office, you said that might be filled here soon, keeping your fingers crossed. And everybody says yes, and all the names and I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and all that kind of stuff. But in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I think all the hires you've had so far are Class A people who are really going to help elevate their programs and Emporia State Athletics.
Well, I appreciate that. It's taken all of us to work through it and work through the processes that we've had. We've been very particular of the process of how we want to make the approaches on all of our positions right now. And it's, you know, I think it's, you know, the key is, you know, we were fortunate this year. We did real well in the Learfield Sports Cup. You know, we went up 70 spots, but you know, we're still a ways away from that top 25, top 30 that we want to be in. And we've got to be able to have the horsepower and the right people in the chair. And, you know, my role is to eliminate excuses and to make sure we have the resources in place to support our student athletes, support our coaches, give them the things that they need in order to be successful and to get out there. And I think we've done we're doing a pretty good job of restructuring all that right now, reallocating. Excuse me, I've been a little froggy here this last 3 weeks. The restructuring and reallocating our resources in a way that we can make ourselves successful and you know, eliminate those excuses that we've had. And now we just got to find the right people to sit in the chair and who can go out and take care of business and put their rosters together and get the right kind of student athletes and play for what they do.
Al, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you in, because back in May, when the Board of Regents, or maybe it was early June, when the Board of Regents got together, they were given a kind of a blueprint, so to speak, of what some of the things you'd like to accomplish at Emporia State, especially facility-wise. And that's what I wanted to bring you in and have you talk about and take a look at the future and what your vision for the future is at Emporia State. Why don't we take our first break, and when we come back, we'll dive into that a little bit more. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $4,250 off MSRP on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cabs. And we have new Chevy models arriving daily, so we'll have the right one for you. Or take a look at our inventory of pre-owned models in stock. We have pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUV models ready for those summer family adventures. And remember, Longvine Auto Certified Service will help keep you keep your travel plans and your vehicle in top condition, too. So, for summer savings, right now, come see us at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us online 24/7 at longvineautoplaza.com. Chevy, find new roads. 1,750 consumer cash, 1,250 trade allowance, 1,000 Chevy select bonus, plus TTNL, rebates assigned to dealer.
I'm Ryan Radke with a This Week in the NCAA Profile. Afewerki Zeru has specialized in long-distance runs throughout his NCAA career, but that's nothing compared to his 8,000-mile journey to get from Eritrea in Northeast Africa to the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. When Zeru was 12, he left his war-torn home country and ended up in a refugee camp in Ethiopia. After a family in Colorado Springs decided to foster Afi and his brother, Afi used sports to help adjust to life in the United States.
I played soccer all of my high school years, and then I picked up track my junior year. Basically, I did track, and then my senior year I did cross country, and then track, and then going into college is when I started getting serious about the sport.
And it didn't take long for him to pick it up, winning the 2022 National Championship in the Division II Men's Individual Outdoor 5K. Just over a month ago, Affy finished his college career with a fifth-place finish in the same event and now has a bachelor's degree in sociology. A hockey player leaves Ann Arbor and heads to Columbus, Ohio, of all places. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. New Pepto-Kids gummies helps relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for new Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
NHL draft was held last week, and once again, the NCAA was featured prominently with 69 current or committed Division I athletes hearing their name called, including nine in the first round. The first of those was this year's Hobey Baker Award winner, Michigan center Adam Fantilli, taken third overall by the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Gray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, joined in studio by Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford and Don Weist, who is the Associate Athletic Director in charge of media relations at Emporia State University. And he can correct me whenever I'm wrong. Keep me in line. And we've talked about doing this since earlier this year about coming in and looking at the vision that you have for Emporia State University. And I think I told your wife early on that I'm so excited about the future of Emporia State because you have a vision for Emporia State of where you would like them to be. And you mentioned being in the top 25 as far as the Learfield Director's Cup, and that ranks the overall athletic program. But for me, and we talked about it just a little bit, giving the coaches the tools that they need to be successful, and some of the tools that they need are scholarships so they can go recruit the players that make the team successful. The old adage is it's not the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes and the Jills and the Janes that make the difference in all this. It's the athletes that make the difference. And when you can go out and recruit those top-of-the-line athletes, it makes the coaching job a lot easier.
It really does. It does make a difference. And as you know, we were just talking on the we've done a nice job on our scholarships. And everybody, you know, that has been supporting us has really been great. And in that process, now that we're in a position with our scholarships that we are, we know we're getting more competitive. We're in the top 3-4 almost every sport right now compared to all the other MIAA schools on the how you rank it out with the full-time equivalencies. So we're in pretty good standing there where we can be competitive. We can bring the types of student athletes in that can help us compete for those championships, thus putting us into a better position to move the overall department forward. I think, you know, as we look forward with that, we want to become more sustainable in this side of the house. And I think we've already started having conversations with the foundation folks. And I know I was joking earlier when I said that about the but they've done a great job in helping me and helping pull the vision together, making the calls and getting things out. But you know, we're going to need to start working into having endowments put into place to have that sustainability to alleviate the financial pressures that we're going to have sooner or later that we'll have. And, and that'll help a lot.
And another part of the equation is the assistant coaches. Your head coaches can go out and do a lot of work, but if they don't have the assistant coaches they need to help them do their job, that becomes a much more of a heavy load for them to lift. And I'm a firm believer that your assistant coaches really help make the program.
Yeah, the assistants do. They do all the you know, really hard work, the daily grind, as we call it in athletics. And I think, you know, we also look at our graduate assistants. You know, that's one of those opportunities for a young person to come in, learn the business, be a part of it, learn what it takes. And as they go through that process and putting in their time, then they can move into that assistant role so they know what they're doing and getting that ready to go. But, you know, they're the backbone, you know, of our programs and really getting things taken care of. And it's the same thing on the administrative side. You know, we've got to get more depth on the staff side of the house there and have the right kind of people in place that can go out and help us with tickets and ticket sales and help us with the marketing, the corporate sponsorships, and putting those kinds of revenue-driving opportunities out in front of us. So, again, we can alleviate some of the pressure there financially. So we've got to build that side too, and that's also next. That's what we're getting ready to roll into this next year, to be able to start putting in more actively, many ticket plans and many ticket drives to get to drive people to come to the games, and to have them be a part of things that way. And then we roll into getting more of the corporate sponsorships and the marketing and the group sales, and running that side and getting that where we need to, in order to provide the resources needed to get us to that top 25.
And it all goes hand in hand. If you have programs that are winning, it's easier to convince people to be a part of the celebration and be a part of the group.
That's exactly right. And it's kind of that chicken or the egg discussion that everybody gets into over time. But, you know, we're fortunate right now we're able to work with the human capital side and getting our staff into place and getting the right people in play, along with, bringing the resources in to help. And then hopefully, as we go down the path here, that we'll continue to win on a sustainable level. Once you do that, then that also provides the excitement of the program, where now when we roll into our facility master plan, you've got people who want to come to the games. We've got to continue to do a better job at our fan experience at our games. And we've got to make sure people, when they come, they have a great time. And as we do that, that, again, rolls into this facility master plan. Now you've got people excited. We've got coaches. We've got people and we're winning. Now you roll into that facility master plan. We've got great facilities. We just need to update them. I think we just probably, in reality, we've only got one real new facility that we'd be looking at right now in the overall master plan. So it's, getting that upgrade, putting in new amenities with each of the different facilities and getting those kinds of things in place, and having the facility where the student athlete can benefit from there. You know, I think one of the things that I think I've said over time on the radio and with other folks, it's like Coach Snyder at Kansas State always said, we want to take care of the student athletes. So when they walk in the door, everything they need is right there. So we eliminate wasted time. And as we take that approach, as we look at our facilities, we're going to be utilizing that approach. So as we kind of roll into this thing and get the announcement out on all that, that'll be part of the goal.
You mentioned facilities, and certainly no disrespect to the other sports, but obviously football drives the engine of virtually every athletic department out there. Welch Stadium, I would imagine, would be at the very top of that list as far as trying to get that updated and moving forward.
Well, and on that part, Tim, I mean, you look at it, you can look at pictures right now from 1946 of Welch Stadium, and it looks almost exactly the same as it did in 1946. I mean, there's some new amenities there with the press box and everything, but those are some of the things that, part of that is the great tradition of it, and that's kind of the allure of it, but as David will speak more eloquently, I mean, those are things we need to upgrade, though. I mean, you can't – people in 1946 were not built the same way they are now.
Right,
spacing there, seating situations, all those things.
No, Don's exactly right, and it's – it's a great facility. I mean, that's one of the things that drew me here, from 1988. It hadn't changed any. And when, when I was coaching over at Manhattan High, I always reminisce when I walk over on that east side and I'm looking up and say, my God, it hasn't changed. And I think those are things that, as we work with this and put the plan together, and I think, and in no particular order, which we'll work on with our master plan people on getting the sequencing done of what needs to be first and how we need to go about it. But if we start on the south side and work our way north of the athletic complex, you look at Welch. And with the national championships that are coming up in track, a year, less than a year, 10 months.
Yep.
You know, we've got to get, there's just different areas of that that need to be taken care of. Now, obviously, we're working on the track side. We'll be resurfacing the track late February, early March. We're putting in all new jumps and all new throws areas and getting all that. That's under construction now. So we're moving forward with that. That's a nice little, you know, price tag that we've got. But we've got donors who've been helping. The university's helping. The city of Emporia. You know, thank you to the city council and everybody and all the different committees that are helping us with that, too. You know, that's going to really help move things a little quicker to get things done. So, we've got to come in there. You look at the west side, we'll be putting in all new seating. The company came in. They've already measured everything out. We'll be getting that figured out, and we've got to get our timing down and when we're going to put that in. We've got to get the handrails in. We've got to get some ADA opportunities put in there, probably widen the concourse. Get that done. You know, we'll probably lose a few seats in some spots. We might be able to gain in others. And as we kind of get going there and getting that taken care of. And then, you know, with new lights, we need to get new lights in there. You know, you and I were sitting up there one day, and it was a little, you know, they just aren't bright enough. And, you know, we start getting into that NCAA and hosting NCAA in football. You know, we're gonna need that and get those new lights in there.
And you know, you look at Welch Stadium, the last time that anything, well, besides the new turf that was put in a couple of years ago, really the last time that it was anything, the scoreboard, and then what I would call a major facelift was when the press box was built, and that's now almost over 30, almost 30 years ago.
1990, you know, that was it's the press box that Brian Shea built. So
yeah,
1997 or so, I think was when we finished that up. 96,
yeah, 95. And I can remember at that particular time when that was opened, I said, you know, this makes Emporia State football feel like an event instead of just a football game. And at that time, I thought that was huge because, Emporia State football was exciting to go to. They had been winning. They had some winning seasons and had struggled a little bit, but there was some success there. And then with the new press box, hey, this is an event. You can feel like this is something special. And now I can just imagine the new improvements that are coming to Welch Stadium will make it even feel more special and maybe even more so for the fans than maybe us media types.
Well, and Greg, when you think about it, when that was constructed, I believe Emporia State was one of three schools in the MIAA. Pittsburgh State and Central Missouri had that type of a press box with suites and all that thing. Now, almost everybody in the league has that. It's the standard. I mean, that's what you expect to have right now. And a lot of those other schools would come through and tour the pavilion and see what they want to do, and they took the best parts of that and put it into theirs. But it's been, like you say, 25 years since that happened.
And just to add to that, you know, you look back at 95, I was at Kansas State, and 94 we just built the new Dev Nelson press box, and, man, we thought that was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, next thing you know, that's been three iterations ago. So, again, you know, we've got to upgrade. We've got to update. You know, the Hutchinson Pavilion is on the docket. Probably a good $5 million in that particular area right now. We know we've got opportunities to expand all the suites, but we've also got to renovate the areas that are in there now and make it a little bit more usable than what it is right now.
And when you look at 25 years ago, there's a lot more that is being done from that press box than what's being done then. When you look at the scoreboard, the video scoreboard, and those type of things, the space that is required to do some of that stuff, right now, you're robbing Peter for space for Paul.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. That's for sure. But knowing what we got to get done, I mean, it helps put into the mix. And then we get over to that east side seating area. And, you know, we've got to do something with that. I mean, we got technically, you know, the engineers are, you know, they keep saying, oh, a few more years, three more years, or whatever it is, but the hard reality is we've got to get that replaced, and the architects and the construction companies, you know, we've got five different options, and what we can do with that. And I think we just got to be reasonable of what where our expectations are there, and to make it as fan friendly as possible with different amenities and putting things in, having you know, some club area seating and things like that. That'll be more appealing for everybody that way, to be able to enjoy the game, making more of the event that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately for that east side, when you look at the edge of the field to the edge of the parking lot, there's not a lot of space to really work with there. So there are some challenges, but there are some. When I first came to Emporia State, that's where the Emporia State football team lockered, was on that east side, and there was a room called the Pennington Room that I remember going down there and having post-game conversations with Coach Larry Kill and or Larry Kramer, and some of the other boosters at the time, and you know, talking about the win and commiserating after a loss, which there weren't that many of them with Coach Kramer at that time. There was a need to improve then, and you have to keep up. But I'm just so excited about the fact that, you know, hey, we're looking at, we know we need to be better here. But that's not the only facility that you have on your list.
No, that's exactly right. I think, you know, we've got to, as you mentioned, we have to continue to support our football program. Coach Higgins has done a phenomenal job in the last 15 years, 16. And, you know, we've got to support him in order to keep that going. And what he's been able to do with what we've had, and to have that 7 out of 10 years of postseason play. Now, you know, we've helped them with their scholarships. The new way that we're approaching tuition at Emporia State with the lower 48, when they come here, they'll get a waiver to be at the in-state rate. That was really huge. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why you see such a large class. And as we've talked about that, you know, in football, we've got to, you know, continue to build our depth and to have the quality of student athlete. You know, that number two, that number three, we've got to have that quality there, that athletic ability that can come in. And the only thing they're lacking is that game experience. But in order to get those kind of players, you know, we've got to continue to update. So the Hyper Building, you know, we're looking at renovations there, making it more student athlete friendly, in regards to certain things and stuff that we want to do in that particular facility, have it more as an end zone facility so that we can, you know, celebrate football, celebrate track, have the kinds of amenities that we need for our student athletes down in that particular facility, and being able to take care of them that way that we want to, and be best in class with the rest of the conference, but also with NCAA Division II.
And that's one thing I mentioned during the break. You know, we're trying to keep up with other schools in the MIAA, because you look at across Division II, and there are very few places that very few conferences that can match what the MIAA does as far as facilities, school-wide and conference-wide, because everybody in the conference now has pretty decent facilities.
Greg, there is no conference in the country in Division II that has the complete package that the MIAA is that we're going up against, whether the competition on the field, the facilities, you put both those things together, and then the scholarship limits that we have here. There's nobody else in the country. There may be some other, you know, the GLIAC, you know, where Ferris State and Grand Valley are at. Those are really good on the field. I mean, those two teams are really good. And Grand Valley's got a beautiful stadium. But Ferris State is nothing to really be excited about for their home facility. I mean, those are the facilities in the MIAA, the seventh best facility in the MIAA would be the best facility in most conferences in the country.
Well, I know the last new thing that I've seen in the conference, I mean, we obviously live close to Topeka. We have relatives there. We just happen to go by the indoor facility at Washburn and check that out. I mean, those are the kind of things that you're competing against. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine the indoor facility probably has been brought up before with you, I'm sure, in terms of what we can do here, would guess.
Yes. a lot of people keep bringing that.
Yeah, I bet so.
I don't know why. Coach is like, you know, Higgins is like, hey, we play outside, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we got to be tough. Let's go. We don't need to be inside. But, no, I think there's just some hard reality that when you look at this, it's, you know, you look at it and through the student-athlete opportunity is, you know, our indoor track kids don't have a facility. And, you know, and we've been pretty doggone good in track over the years. So, yeah, I think, you know, we've got to be able to support them and give them, again, give them the tools they need to be successful and have that in place. So the indoor facility that we're looking at that we – I think we're in the fifth iteration right now on drawings as we put this together, but it'll have a 200 meter bank track and then a full NCAA football field inside. And as a couple of our donors who were evaluating this, as we were talking to them and giving them updates, you know, as you know, we also started talking about, well, hey, what about the kicking game? Is it tall enough? So, you know, back again to the architects. So, hey, let's take another look at this.
Valid point.
And, yeah, you know, we got to work on that too a little bit. So anyway, so that's one of those things. But, you know, not only is that for football and track, but it's also good for the rest of our sports. And, you know, soccer will be able to come in and use it, get things taken care of when it's, you know, those cold mornings and stuff. We don't want them out on that grass. We want to get them inside and, you know, give them the good workout they need to have to be able to go deep in the NCAAs like they've been doing. It helps other sports, too, to have a different area, an indoor area where we can kind of spread out, get some different things done. It'll be a nice event space. We'll be able to do some other things, renting the facility out to the local community for different opportunities and options that are there. We'll be able to host an indoor national championship, so we'll be one of the few programs in the country that can do an indoor and an outdoor national championship. You look at hosting a plethora of other divisions, you know, with their indoor track and getting that done and be able to generate it in, generating revenue and putting some things in place on that too. So there's a lot here. You know, we want to be sustainable in that facility. So, you know, I've asked them to take a look at, okay, that, you know, this thing is like 400 by 430 feet, 400 by 430. And it takes up a lot of space over on, you know, next to the Hyper building going to the east. And, you know, with 18,000 cars, so anybody who wants to get their logo out there, you know, give me a call. 18,000 impressions every day.
There you go.
You know, just
there,
saying.
There you go.
Anybody out there that's listening. It's a really good opportunity. But with that expansive of a roof, there's opportunity. You know, we can put some solar on that, get off the grid, save money that way. The revenue we generate from that facility will pay for everything else and be able to keep it up. So you have to, you know, when we're thinking about these things, we have to look at how does the facility sustain itself? And that's a whole other discussion to get into. But I think that's an example when we look at this, and as we're looking at our different facilities, you know, we bring something online like that. You know, we've got to be able to pay the air conditioning. We've got to pay the heating, the cleaning. You know, there's just all these other things that go in. And that goes with every single facility. And, you know, those are some things there as we look at this and as we work with our community to be able to use our facilities. You know, we've also got to be able to pay for the upkeep and to take for those things. So it's a little give and take as we go through it all and all work together to get things taken care of.
Well, of course, all of this takes, obviously, dollars. But it sounds like that you're being very well received with donors and different folks and seeing the vision that Emporia State has for all this. It sounds like things in that realm in a way are really picking up. Would that be true?
Yeah, that is true. We've been, again, our foundation folks, Jason and Shane, they've been terrific in working with me. I've been on the road since I got here. And, you know, and Emporia's done so much for ESU. And, you know, we've got to continue to broaden our support out across the country. We've got great alumni all over the country and people who can also assist and come in at a high level, at that seven-figure level. And, you know, so we're having those conversations with people all around the country right now, walking through the vision, walking through who we are, where we want to go, how we're going to get there. And I have not had one person yet tell me no. And they've all said, when you get it all done and you're ready to present it, come back and we'll see how we fit and help you guys get this taken care of. Because, you know, people want us to be successful. And, I think when I was on talking to WIBW the other day, that's one of the things that's great about being here is because people care and people want to help. You don't get that everywhere. I mean, I can go through a whole list of schools I've worked at. I mean, they don't have that. So it's pretty special to be a part of that, but we've got to deliver. You know, it's our responsibility to put this together, put the plan together, get the sequencing done on the facilities, and then go out and get ready to go.
And then talking about national, I mean, just a couple weeks ago, there was a golf tournament in Tucson, Arizona that raised, what, $25,000 or something like that. I mean, you know, just there are people out there, and they weren't, you know, there's a big baseball alumni contingent out there, but Coach Bingham was actually in town this week, and I was talking to him about it a little bit, and he said there were people out there that didn't play at Emporia State, didn't go to Emporia State, but they can kind of see what's going on, and they've got friends that are there, and it's building up, so that's kind of how you're outreaching to other people too, so we don't have to come back to the same people all the time asking for something more and more and more from them. We're trying to expand out to other people.
We're visiting with Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford, Don Wiest also joining us. We'll take our final break this morning. We'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongPineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, summer is here, and that means hitting the road for those fun summer activities. And it also means summer savings on the right vehicle for you. Savings like $4,250 off MSRP on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cabs. And we have new Chevy models arriving daily, so we'll have the right one for you. Or take a look at our inventory of pre-owned models in stock. We have pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUV models ready for those summer family adventures. And remember, Longvine Auto Certified Service will help keep you keep your travel plans and your vehicle in top condition, too. So, for summer savings, right now, come see us at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us online 24/7 at longvineautoplaza.com. Chevy, find new roads. 1,750 consumer cash, 1,250 trade allowance, 1,000 Chevy select bonus, plus TTNL, rebates assigned to dealer.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongPineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, joined in studios by Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford, Don Wiest, who's in charge of media relations at Emporia State. And we've been talking about some of the facility upgrades that are on the drawing board, and we even got drawings for those facilities as well. But there's a couple of others that I wanted to touch on before I got away this morning, and one of them is you've already started to make some improvements, and that's out at the Trussler Sports Complex, replaced the infield, but I know there are more improvements on the way.
There are, and we've, you know, with the baseball side of the house, you know, that was a risk management issue. I know we've talked about this before in the past, and we had to get that done. Well, so, you know, sitting there and taking a look at it, I say, well, we got to get other things done too. And so, you know, as we worked through this, we ended up working through a phase process, what we'll do. So we got the infield done. Now we got to get the outfield done. Then we've got to get the lights done. You continue to work through. We've got to get new seating in that and Trussler in general put into place. There's some other amenities. We've got some donors who are excited to help us do something. So we're kind of talking through that to see if that can become a reality and putting that in there. But, you know, as we sat down as a senior staff and as a leadership team with campus, you know, we were looking at our budget. And one of the things as we look at this is, you know, we've got to, again, here back to revenue, we've got to continue to generate and find more sustainable ways to produce the revenue we need to support our teams and our student athletes. So as we look at this, we've got two fields out there. Okay, there's four fields at Trussler. There's two of them that aren't even being used anymore. Okay, so, you know, that by itself is we're not generating anything at all off of those fields. So as we were talking about it, we said, okay, well, let's look at, okay, what's it going to cost to turf all four, and what's it going to cost to upgrade and redo all the lighting? So I'm right in the middle of getting all that wrapped up. I've got a lot of the numbers there. And as we look at that, so that would be putting new turf on all the fields and getting that in place. And then now we have a quality facility that we'll be able to rent out on a regular basis that people from the whole region can come in and use, again, use it as an economic driver back to our community and bringing more people to Emporia. And as we do that, that'll help create the funding that we need so we can, same thing we did at Wichita State and Kansas State, building those facilities. So what we can do is build the performer out, look at our costs, put in what the revenue generation expectations are, utilize the revenue to pay off the debt service over X amount of years, and then once you get that paid off, then you can turn around and use that money to set aside for the department and for the university if we need to continue to build funds in our department budget where we'll be able to put money aside, which we haven't done, I've been able to do. But and we'll be doing that. We're starting that this year in this new budget cycle. We're going to be able to start having an account and put money away to for deferred maintenance things. And so when that 10 years, when that turf has to be replaced, instead of going to a donor asking for $1 million, well, now maybe we want to go and ask for $200,000 or $300,000 because we've been, we've been financially savvy enough to be able to start saving our money and putting things in there, projecting in X amount of time we've got to get these replaced. So same thing with football, baseball, you know, and other things that way too. So as we do that, again, that'll be a new revenue opportunity for us over X amount of time once we pay off the debt service on that. So we're taking a look at that too. And, you know, how's that going to work? You know, what kinds of things can we do and who we can bring in? It's the same thing when you start looking over at soccer. You know, we've got to get a new soccer field. Bottom line, we got to get turf in there. We got to get lights in there. We need to get new stands, new lockers for the team and put that in there. But it can also be utilized by our community. There's a number of good, great soccer, youth soccer groups that out here that would love to have a new opportunity facility. Let's work, you know, we're talking with the city on some things with that too and looking at how we can team up together where we can use that facility and then also what the city's looking at doing too. So now we can bring in bigger tournaments, bigger things here, again, to the economy or to Emporia to help with the economy and getting those things done. So those are things that we've got coming down the pike that we've got to get accomplished. We're working with our team to finish building out the master plan, and then we'll get the sequencing down when those things will get done. Now, I've been doing this for 30 years, so I pretty well know when a donor comes and says, "Hey, here's $30 million, let's go." And then,
it's time to go.
Yeah, it we're going.
Yeah, it changes the timeline and puts things down, and that has happened over the years. So, I think we got some great things ahead of us, and be able to do some really exciting changes and help our kids out, help our community out. And looking forward to year two as we move into this next year here with those types of goals and getting the groundwork laid out for that right now.
And Don and I have talked about this too, and so often the first impression means a lot. And with these improvements, the first impression people are going to have not only of Emporia State, because if they step on the Emporia State campus, that's also going to give them an impression of Emporia. They see all these new, well-thought-out facilities that are designed for success. They're going to say, hey, Emporia State's on the ball. Emporia's on the ball.
And not just the people that set foot on campus, but the 18,000 people that drive by the interstate every day and see that. So
that's exactly right.
The old adage is athletics the front porch for the university, but in Emporia too, to some extent, it's the front porch for Emporia. You take a look and you see what Emporia State is offering. You see there's well kept grounds and the facilities look good. You're thinking, okay, hey, Emporia cares about not just the university, but the community also cares because there's so much that goes hand in hand. And Emporia is one of those communities where they have to work hand in hand because the university can't stand alone by itself, and the city can't afford to supply the university with all its facilities.
That's exactly right, and it's a team effort. You know, we've all got to pull the rope together, or as Coach Mangino used to say, we got to saw the log together and get all that taken care of and get going. So it's really exciting to work with people here in our community to get these opportunities in place.
And that's why I'm so excited about the future at Emporia State University, and especially on the athletic side, the vision that you have for Emporia State and that you're sharing with the people that are surrounding you and the people of Emporia. I don't see how anybody cannot be excited about the future at Emporia State, because there's a vision of making it better at Emporia State, and then not only making it better, but then sustaining that beyond getting to that point. Because I think that might be the biggest challenge for a lot of places, is once you get to the pinnacle, how do you stay at the pinnacle? It just doesn't happen. Once you get there, it just doesn't end. You have to keep working on improving and making things better and keeping things up. And I'm just so excited about the future.
It is. It's, you know, Barry Switzer, I think, said it best in his book, Bootlegger's Son. He goes, you know, once we created and built it, now we got to continue to feed the monster. And it's true. And I think when we look at these opportunities, like the sustainability with scholarships and endowing them and the different types of things we can do with our facilities to sustain them over time, it all makes a difference.
Now, if we've motivated somebody to open up the checkbook and want to be a part of it, how does somebody become a part of what is growing at Emporia State?
Well, you can call myself, you can call Jason Santangelo at the foundation, and we'd be more than happy to continue the conversation and see, you know, where your interest lies and how you would, you know, want to be able to help, and you know, we'll start putting it all together.
Or you can go to esuhornets.com and click on the donate button or give button. So.
That's very true. And you know, one last thing, I don't know, I'm sure we're
good. Oh, we're fine. We're fine. We're fine.
Well, you know, Greg, this is probably one of the last times we'll be on the radio together, and not to get too emotional or anything, but hey, I just want to tell you thank you for everything you've done. It's been really special, and I know Don's going to miss you. You guys have been on how many years of road trips together? And
too many
long nights driving back and everything like that. But I just want to say thank you, and you've been a big part of not only ESU. And helping us, you know, with our teams and our student athletes, building those relationships, but also to our community.
Well, thank you, and it has been my pleasure.
And Greg, I know you've said that you've never had to worry about paying to get. You're worried about you've never had to pay to get into an event. You're going to be on my pass list the whole time. I just want to let you know. Okay. So anything we're at, I'll put you on the pass
lifetime list. Pass, right? As long as you're there.
Yes. Yes. As long as I'm there now. I mean, you know, hey, that may be gone next year. So
all bets are off.
Well, it has been, you know, I like using the adage, I ask people, how are things going? I'm living the dream. Well, I had a chance to live my dream of being a sports broadcaster and covering athletics, and it has been my pleasure that that dream came to fruition covering Emporia State University, and it has been through some low times, but have been through a lot more up times, and I always tell everybody, I don't know about you, but every time I broadcast a game, Emporia State wins. And the scoreboard may not show it, but every time I felt like Emporia State wins one way or the other. And I see that continuing at Emporia State. Emporia State will still continue to win.
Best is yet to come.
Yes. So get your checkbooks out and make it all happen at Emporia State University. Outstanding group of people to work with and work around. And my thank you to all of the coaches, athletic directors, athletic administration people, and especially the athletes who were kind enough to allow me to interview and ask some stupid questions. And they gave me some really outstanding answers over that time. It's been my pleasure. But, again, we can reminisce about the past, but it's the future that really has me excited. And we wish you well.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you very much. And, hey, if you haven't gone out and purchased your season tickets for football, get to ESUHornets.com under the ticket side of it and click on there. And let's come out and enjoy the excitement of Hornet football.
Preseason ranked in a couple of national polls already, and I'm guessing they'll be right up there towards the top in the MIAA preseason poll that will be coming up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
They'll be releasing that with Media Day coming up on the 25th. So I feel like Coach Higgins has the team lineup ready to go, and the exciting thing about it is it's not just the coaches that are excited about it and have it focused on it. It's the athletes, it's the players, and that's the most important part. They have to be the ones bought in because they're the ones that have to go on the field and execute the game plan and make sure it all happens well. But it's going to be an exciting start to the 23-24 academic and athletic school year. Starts on probably before August 31st with football. Does soccer?
That would be the first game this year.
First game this year for any of the sports. So that be out at Welch Stadium on that's a Thursday night.
So football literally kicks it off. Is
literally
that
kicks it okay. off, and right. then we're going to have the and then our hopefully our men's 4x4 will be the team that brings it in at the end.
There you go.
Back in the end of May, right. Unless baseball's playing in the World Series, I guess
that goes into June. Well. David, thanks for coming in this morning. I'm so glad we had the opportunity to talk about the future at Emporia State, because I think it is really bright, and I'm really excited about it, and I can't wait to see it all come to fruition.
Appreciate the opportunity, and again, thank you for everything you've done for us and for our community, and look forward and have a great weekend.
I'll do my best. I think there's some work that has to be done at home. Don, thanks for joining us. Again, well, big thank you to David Spafford and Don Weiss for joining us this Saturday morning. Thanks to Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Unemployment was down and hourly wage growth was higher in the June jobs report, and ABC's Alexis Christophe.